This is Mile High.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right,
it is not. It is a receiver of thought.
Because love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles, coming from 5,280 feet. And today we're going to have an outstanding interview with the one and only Dr. Dean DePice. Before we get into introducing our incredible guest, I do want to say if you're listening to this in whatever way you're listening to it, whether it be iTunes or Stitcher or Facebook or YouTube or one of the other platforms that this is downloaded over and over again on, please feel free to, or I encourage you to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. We bring great chiropractic content to fuel you and your team every single week. And of course, if you have not already, reserve your time for Mile High. Grab your seats. August 16th to 19th is coming up very soon. www.milehighchiro.org, and get time to connect with chiropractors from around the world and their teams, and we look forward to seeing you there. Dr. Dean DePice is one of those chiropractors that every time I talk to him, I just end up smiling. He's a head coach or mentor for TLC, and he's currently on the road and pulled over. This is how chiropractically, filled his life is. He pulled over just to be on this podcast for us, and you've got this great scenic background. If you're watching this on video, you can see it. If you're not, then you see it. You'll just have to get the audio version. But where are you?
I am somewhere between Charlotte, North Carolina, and heading to Hendersonville, North Carolina.
Excellent. Well, it looks beautiful wherever you are. The leaves changing and everything. And so let's get right into some chiropractic for our listeners. And you gave us a great favorite quote. If you want to change the world, go home and love your family. Mother Teresa, I love that. Tell me why you love that.
I think it cuts down to what really matters. You know, so many times we're tempted in the midst of turmoil to look for a shiny object, to look for another psychology book, to look for another world leader who's going to lead us to hope and all these things. And Mother Teresa just said it really the clearest. I mean, if every single mommy, daddy, aunt, uncle, niece, nephew, grandparent, grandchild, if every single one of those people made the priority of first loving the people that are at home, everything else would work out more beautifully.
Just simple enough. That's absolutely true. And now, for those that don't know you, that are watching and listening, let's get to know you a little bit better. Tell us, first of all, right now, all the things that you're spearheading and involved with chiropractic.
Well, you know, I always had a dream that we would bring together leadership in our profession that challenges people to finally, once and for all, commit to process, and that process is more important than outcome, and that in doing so, they would prosper their own practice in process, and in doing that, then be more useful to all other divisions of leadership in chiropractic, because the best way to be great in leadership is to first spend several decades in service in the front lines of adjusting people. I mean, we're a unique profession. Our work is done in private practice predominantly. So to be profoundly useful in leadership needs to have been sensitively honed and skilled in private practice. So in the founding of TLC, Jen and I were a good 15 years or so in practice, and it always boggled us whenever someone would say they were struggling with something. It's like, well, you can't be struggling in chiropractic practice because chiropractic is struggling. Chiropractic is great. So it must mean the individual has challenges. So let's come alongside each other. So the first thing we have done about 15 years in was begin to formulate a group of people that were really about a community. It's TLC, Team and Life Conditioning. As that played out, earlier than that, I started to work on continuing ed license renewal because another beef that I had was going to get my license renewal work done and being more bored with chiropractic or scared in chiropractic than I was not having taken CE. So we first tried to clean up our version of contributing to CE. Then we brought together a community called TLC where people come together and relationships are more important than procedures. And then in the process, like you, and that's really where you and I met, Dan, I think the most significantly, was realizing that the front line of protecting and serving the future of our profession is in serving and protecting the future graduates with the next stream or generation of licenses to come. And I found my primary service definitely is beside you and others that are trying to embrace Sherman to continue to do what it does at ever-increasing competency and effectivity. And in the course of that, now we've developed really regions around the country where the TLC community comes to bat together in profound strength and love. So that's just a few of the things. I mean, we write a lot. But most importantly, my wife and I work together along with now 30 other coaches around the country to serve the profession.
Excellent. And I've been to your programs and gotten the opportunity to share with them. They're amazing.
Yeah.
And just very grateful for all the help that you're giving chiropractors, because when it comes down to it, what's important about that is when you're helping chiropractors be more impactful, the real benefit is how it impacts the people that they serve. That's that's the reason why, because nothing disturbs me more, or very few things do, is when I see a chiropractor underserving where they have this incredible gift that chiropractic is, and I know that they can touch more lives. So with that, you also do an incredible program with Sherman College, and you may do it with other institutions, I don't know. But let's talk about that program you do to help students at Sherman get situated in business successfully.
Right. Well, it's been trademarked the G10 initiative. And for me, it's the fact that it's really completely legitimate to teach students in school how to be completely out of debt, even if they are in the extremes, which you hear of now, of $250,000 of student loan debt, although some of the standards might be $150,000, $175,000, $200,000, whatever it is, that you can be a doctor of chiropractic, practice in chiropractic, and get rid of that stuff in 3 years, 6 years, certainly by 10 years. And so the simple mathematics of it is to put it into digestible forms. You know, when a child is scared that there's a boogeyman in the closet, what do? But you walk over to the closet and show them there's no boogeyman. Well, it's not uncommon that students are made fearful of their ability to cleanly and simply practice as doctors of chiropractic and obliterate the debts that they've accumulated along the way. So the G10 initiative is a conviction that I've exercised. It started with me when Schwarzbauer's investiture at the school happened nearly 10 years ago. That's when legitimate, specific agendas were being exercised on campus to try and pull it together. I had tried to do it with other schools, and it had never gained the traction it needed. So you're right in saying that. But Sherman, now, we've been at this for 10 years. And so this is not some flippant thing. There is no backroom deal. I don't get paid anything to do any of this. We fly our coaches down, and we do curriculums every quarter. We are curricularizing our TLC content to be matriculated into the actual 14 quarters. And the G10 simply says this. I mean, if you have $200,000 of student loan debt, then you're going to obliterate it in 10 years or less. It's roughly anywhere from $2,000 a month to $2,500 a month to do it in 10 years or 8 years or 6 years. If you divide that monthly nut by $40 a visit, which is very conservative, it really boils down to anywhere from 8 visits a week to 18 visits a week to obliterate your debts in 10 years or 8 years or 6 years or 3 years, whatever you want to do, somewhere in that ballpark. And for doctors beginning practice to digest that, you know, it might take you 50, 60, 70 visits a week to take care of your home and business overhead nuts. It might take you another 10 or 20 visits a week to live somewhat prosperously, but it only takes somewhere around 10 or 15, 20 visits a week most to completely obliterate your debt that you committed to pay back to the government that lent it to you in as little as 3 years. Certainly the most extreme would be 10, but to teach this conversation while they're in school, to give it legitimacy, to give it traction, to make it their language that is not foreign, such that after 3 years out, they're like, holy mackerel, I'm never going to pay this off. I haven't even been paying the interest on it. And now it's growing. Now they're depressed about it. And now it's this thing they hide in the back of their lives. The G10 initiative is to say that while your students be responsible, while your faculty and institutions be responsible to teach people how to handle finances with wisdom, you know. And anytime I see somebody doing that, that's one of the things that drew me to you before I I think even before you had Mile High, was that, you know, you're a guy, you got an axe to grind about doing things nicely. You have an axe to grind about protecting our profession. You have an axe to grind, which is usually to make a friendly fire for people. And sometimes you're willing to grind the axe because you got to stand up for things. And this G10 initiative is serious stuff. So I hope that explains a little bit of it.
Well, and here's the important thing about that. A, it's about integrity. The way you said this, look, a government lent you money and you receive something for that and you're going to take care of people. The thing is, you better serve people when you're in financial integrity and when you are accountable and good steward towards finances and towards your debts, people are going to be good stewards towards finances and their debts towards you, which you need to be successful in practice, because otherwise it creates a cycle that is not very fortunate for you, right? And then people live in that spiral, and we want people to, from the moment they hit the ground running, if not before, in terms of their degree, be well situated for all that so that they can have greater impact and they're not chained down from that financial situation, which is what happens all too often, right? So we want to have, especially the people that are focusing on the subluxation and the adjustment as the centerpiece of their practice, we want those people to thrive the most and have the tools that they need, correct?
Definitely. Yeah. And, you know, another thing to put in perspective, because sometimes people will have a story for why, well, that can't work with my technique or that can't work with this or that. Look, there, some people get caught in this, well, that applies to a high volume practice. Let's stop all the illegitimacy of that conversation. First, you have to define your technique and technique objective. Based upon your technique, you then define what is moderate to high volume. So, for instance, if you're a NUCA doctor, over the top high volume is 120 visits a week. So stop putting everyone in a box, start being individually respectful of who you are and define that. And if your high volume is 120 visits a week, then you're responsible as a student when you come out to figure out how to serve people at your highest level of competency so that you serve as many lives as humanly possible with what you do. And if you do that, whatever your story is, whatever your technique is, you can pay your debts back. And what a liberation. Talk about being open-hearted from inside out. When you feel like you owe a man or a government agency money, some part of your heart is shut down. This opens the chiropractor up.
Absolutely.
So thank you for giving that some floor time here.
Well, and I think that's important because I think people get lost in their they get shackled by it. So now, what do you believe? Let's shift gears a little bit because you've seen lots of chiropractors thrive, and I'm sure you've seen lots of chiropractors not thrive. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you believe is the most effective way to elevate a doctor's effectiveness and usefulness or to jumpstart one who's been challenged?
Oh, that's good. So there's two things you brought up. One is, what do you do for one who's already competent so they raise their competency? What do you do for one who's wrestling to help them come out of that wrestling?
Yeah.
Did I get that?
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
So first of all, if someone's really struggling, I think one of the first things is they have to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
I think someone who's entered fear or struggle or difficulty, it can be a challenging place to come out of. So to some degree, they have to be open to connecting, but whoever connects with them has to have some degree of authentically coming alongside them, loving them, and making them find safety. Until the human spirit feels safe, it doesn't tend to open up. So I think we need to find a circle and a community of people that helps us, you know, and that, you know, whether it's Mile High or New Beginnings or any of these different communities. And there has to be that thing, and I put it in a pipeline of hierarchy, that people need to commune or come together. So when people commune and come together, there's a chance then that even whether it's through a glance or holding a door, they communicate, right? And if people come together and communicate, in that, there comes to be some degree of opening up and transparency. So communing comes to communication, comes to transparency. Once there's transparency, you can pretty well figure out if someone's safe or right to be around. So then you can be transparent and then exposed. And only then, once we open our hearts and put it out there, can we then become accountable. And I think one of the challenges with helping someone break a pattern that's been negative is they're not really in a community for accountability. That's why it's easy to like buy a solution. I'm gonna buy this kit from over here. I'm gonna buy this practice management model over here. I'm gonna buy a seminar weekend. And All of those things are fine, but unless we're going to be consistently in a small circle of people we're accountable to, that we feel safe with, that we're transparently exposed with, real breakthrough doesn't happen. And on the other side, for someone who's doing good, sometimes they have worse of demon because they're okay. They're paying their bills. Everything's fine. Why should I have to change anything? But if you're face-to-face with other peers, somebody's going to hit you in the shoulder and say, yo, buddy, I'm tired of hearing how everything's fine with you. What are you doing more today than yesterday?
Right. And here's the thing about that. It's about finding your we. You know, there's only so much you can do as an I, but you need a we. And that tribe of your we helps you be more accountable and more impactful. It really lifts you up.
Yeah.
And that might be in many different forms. But especially as chiropractors, we're a little bit of a, you know, different group. We're a little bit individualists, and see the world a little bit differently. So sometimes if we don't connect with others that see the world that we do, the way we do, we miss out on a lot.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, and that's something to appreciate coming out to your gathering. I think this will be the third time I'm there. You know, it's a community of very like-minded people that know when they show up, they're in a house that carries a certain safety. It carries a common conversation. There's a lot of extraordinary things that happen at Mile High. And, you know, you guys have done an amazing job.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And that was really the intention, was to have a home for those that are dedicated to our foundational values and principles. And people may vary in their dedication to that. They may be on a, you know, range of the spectrum of where they are. And that's all good. But they have that as their central values, and they're getting closer and closer to that center so that they're supported and they have a home and they feel safe about it and they feel welcome and they can share with each other and connect with teams. And that's the Mile High tribe.
It's definitely the tribe. And that's why to support, you know, what we're both doing here is my conviction now is, and everybody needs to know, you know, Dr. Dan has helped me do this, but we're putting together a post-event meeting room, and we're going to have an open TLC gathering. There's so many TLC doctors in the greater Colorado region of the country, and they're all going to show up. That tribe's going to be in the other tribe, and we're all tribing together. And, and anybody and everyone who is a chiropractor is in the room, as far as I'm concerned. The room is open. The environment's open. We're going to be there in whatever time. I think Dr. Dan said it's going to be at 7:30, but you know, tribes like this, and very personally, I would say communities of hearts and souls like this, the more we come together, the more we compound the greatness that's in our hearts. So thank you, Dan, for doing that. And my plan now is from here forward, Mile High will always be on my annual calendar. So I will bring our TLC movement to your movement every year.
Awesome. We're very grateful for that. And there are incredible TLC docs in Colorado, and I know I'm close with many of them. So super appreciate that. And I want them, you know, my good friend and one of our MCs, Joel Kinch, he's always says that, look, there's all the subluxation principle organized groups under one tent where we can come together and say, hey, we're all on the same team. You know, mm-hmm. We have the same vision, and we can, you know, thrive together at this. So now, what are you most excited about what you're sharing at Mile High?
Well, you know, it's a continual conversation. It's about really helping people fight less and love more. And I mean, that can sound like, you know, cliche, but really that when there's a problem, that we don't stay in the problem as much as we foster the next part of the conversation, which is the solution. And, you know, Mile High does that a lot, and I want to be a contributor to that specifically. You know, I'm going to be talking about the opioid crisis, which is a problem, but really the solution is something else. I'm going to be talking about the battle for strengthening the host, and that the problem is people get sick, but really the hopefulness is strengthening the host. So, you know, I want to talk in that community about the need that coming alongside people and lifting people up allows us to then go to the next conclusive natural step, which is, so the solution is what? And that we would always be solution-mindedness. You know, in leadership camps, we talk about the 10-to-1 rule. You know, if somebody has a stress in their lives, and as an exercise, we have them write 10 possible ways to solve that challenge, well, then they're living in the solution. And, you know, this can sound cliche because everybody talks about it, and all the leaders of our profession have talked about it, but, and I'm certainly lecturing to you, I'm sorry, but to live in the dream and to foster the possibilities and to speak of the hope is to ignite the heart. And between the head, heart, and hands in dealing with all of life, the heart always wins. So what I want to be in that weekend with you guys is a moment like many others, but I want to be in a moment where hearts are opened up because I got to share.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, you know, that's beautiful because we always talk about Mile High connecting people to the heart and soul of chiropractic. Mm. We have so much stuff that's mental chatter from, you know, boards, billing, finances, all the things that go along with running a business that are vital and important to do well and do mm-hmm. ethically and with integrity and with excellence, like every aspect of practice, that sometimes we forget about the heart and soul of why and making sure that that's the leading all of that, right?
Right.
And that all of that is flowing through that. So grateful to have you sharing there.
Uh-oh. Hold on. Something happened.
Yeah, I just lost your video for a second.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. You're back.
Am I back?
Yep. No worries. Now, with that, there was another topic, and I actually have had this come up a lot recently around me, a lot of people asking of this about practice and having these conversations and what do I do, which is, so we've got the doctor that's challenged, right, and we help uplift them out of that, and then you've got someone who's already really effective, and you're helping them being more effective, okay, and then there's another place is where a person says, hey, I want to expand beyond what I can do and what my two hands can do, and either I want to bring in another doctor so we can expand even more, or maybe I want to expand into another office or be the route of doing that.
You're giving me goosebumps, Dan.
So that associate process people struggle with.
Yeah, yeah. Well, our profession, you know, in school, we don't get a lot of training just on even opening a practice. Well, we really don't get much of any. And let alone how to raise associate-driven practices and employ other professionals who they themselves
right.
might be eagles or not. So one of the things that I have as a dream right now is to solve the issue of the fact that some people who are doctors just aren't meant to own and run businesses. But
right.
that doesn't make them lesser doctors. You know, if you're a medical doctor, and excuse me, but you suck at owning a business or getting a building or setting up leases or hiring people or employing people or knowing how to train or let go of people, if you stink at that, you're going to fail in practice, but not because you're a failure clinically. And so often the two are dysfunctionally seen as the same, and they're not. There
right.
are great chiropractors who are clinically competent, have great hands, great hearts, but they're not going to run a good business. So if you're a medical doctor, then you work in a hospital. But if you're a chiropractor, you work nowhere. Or in most cases in the history of our profession, you have associateships that usually end in peril.
Well,
so,
or if you're that person, because not everybody's an entrepreneur, not everybody's a small business person, some thrive at that better than others, either you do that or you just end up playing chiropractic very small.
Yes.
And very
yes.
boutique and underserving your capacity.
Yeah, and carrying those debts and all sorts of things that just never seem to get fixed or move beyond.
Right.
So my my issue and my hope in all this in raising the ADP is that, you know, the Marines know how to do it. There's no labor force in the world that has a textbook on more lives transformed than the U.S. Marine Corps. And one of the things Marines do is in the beginning, they spend their first periods of training trying to break you and reveal you for what you are. So when we do our 7 levels of the associate-driven practice, the first 2 levels are very intense, high-functioning, high work ethic. So the rewards and the profits are saved till the end. Whereas what kids are seduced into who come out of school is they want to take the quick big money and work in practices that maybe have a mill version or whatever to them, but they're going to get a quick big paycheck in the beginning. We teach our doctors to work hard here and then accumulate even bigger pay scales later on. But we have 7 levels that are laid out. And fortunately, you know, I love going through that process. And we define from the beginning as somebody an apprentice, in other words, an associate who's really only going to be around for a year or two and help them do that, or is somebody going to be a matriarch or patriarch where they're going to stay lifelong in that facility. And that's certainly something every doctor like a Dan Nold and Dean DePice wants to have, is at least one matriarch or patriarch. And my dream, my prayer for the profession is everybody who's capable of being a good practice owner raises up five other doctors in their career. Because if you do the math, if every competent doctor, and let's say there's only 10,000 of them, could raise up five doctors in their career, well, in one generation line of about 20 years, we could straighten out 50 or 60,000 practices.
Which would be
awesome. That would be amazing.
Which would be awesome. And the what's important about that is all the people whose lives are not being touched by not doing that, and how much more we can impact the world. Because here's the thing, we're at a crossroads with tick. You know, we're at a crucial time where I've heard people say, you know, I might see chiropractic die on my watch, you know, and I might see that turn into something far from what it's meant to be. And so it's a pivotal time to turn that around. You know,
right.
It's a pivotal time for us to step up and lead that so that does not happen and we actually see things thrive.
Yep.
Right? So
yeah, very much so.
Yeah, and I know that your efforts, one with the students, with doctors, and then also with associates, are all part of that because
yeah.
People need it. People truly need that.
And that the leadership, ideally, at least a fair dose of it, stays at the front line of adjusting people.
Right.
Really, even if it's only one session a week or two, you know, when we get removed from the front line of clinical care, I mean, it can happen, but I think we're greater as leaders of the profession when we keep our hands somewhat on the front line of clinical care.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Now on that, so since let's talk about the associate thing one more step, one more level of depth, which is this. What are some keys for a healthy doctor-associate relationship?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of landmines in there. The way
right.
I break up the seven levels is there are seven levels of graduation and there's five primary conversations. The first question is, at each level, what's the associate required to do to graduate? The next question is, what are the entitlements of what the chiropractor is able to do that they want to do? The third requirement is, what are the financial scales that are going to be carried out? The fourth requirement, what are the timelines that things have to be executed in or we stop working with that person? And the fifth conversation is, what are the landmines? So if you say to me, you know, what are some of the things to look out for? Well, there's 35 boxes to talk about. All right, so I know. So the most fun boxes to look out for are the landmines. What are the landmines? So classically, there are so many ways to screw up with an associate-driven conversation. You know, it innocently, a first-time, second-time, third-time host doctor, we call us that own the practice the host doctor. So classically, a host doctor gets way too zealous with talking about how the future is going to mean that this guy's going to own the practice, or you're going to be adjusting all my patients, or you're going to be doing this. And they kind of give away the farm before we've even established the discipline. So that's a classic landmine to watch out for. Stop it. Another thing is turning someone into adjusting patients within weeks of coming in your office, which is, it's ridiculous. I mean, you have your own new patient protocols, you have your own TikTok protocols, you have your own re-exam protocols, you have your own intervention protocols, you have your own protocols of when you might never refer out versus you would refer out, you have your own x-ray or testing protocols. I mean, if you just throw someone in there, you're giving away the house before you've really raised up consistency of disciplines from the masters that are going to serve the people. Another thing to talk about is adjusting styles. You know, if you're looking to have a diverse array of adjusting styles, fine. But usually that's just a lot of landmine. You want to have doctors that all adjust almost identically. Because you don't want to have patients, you know, the inmates running the insane asylum, you know, patients say, you know, I like when Dr. Dan does my neck, but I like when you do my left wrist. And I like when that guy there does my lower back. You know, we can't do that. So in most of our models, we want to standardize our doctors' technique initiatives as much as possible. Another classic landmine is letting the CAs be cared for by the associates. Ultimately, the loyalty of the employee base always has to remain with the host doctor. So it's okay if occasionally an associate cares for the CAs, but the CAs' primary care, their biggest issue that they're chiropractically adjusted should be with the host doctor. And I could go on for hours of all the landmines that are there.
But those are some important things. And,
yeah.
You know, for those relationships to thrive, well-defined boundaries, well-defined goals, all of those things are important. And most people don't necessarily, just like they don't do it with their chiropractic assistants, they don't do it with their chiropractic associates.
Correct.
And then it begins, I find that the failure that happens in relationships, business and personal relationships, is a mismatch of expectations. So we want to make sure expectations are in line.
That's right. Well, you know, I got a comment so everybody knows, and I'm sure all of you that are watching this have done what I did, but I went to see Dan's practice. Why wouldn't you want to go to see Dr. Dan Rochelle's practice? So I walk in, and that place is so systematized. It is so organized. It is so scripted. It is so structured. It is so rehearsed. It's what everyone wants from a Super Bowl team, an Olympian, from a symphony orchestra, and anything. I mean, anyone who ever says, you know, they frown upon scripting and rehearsal, you're gone. The most elegant demonstrations of anything are from the people that are the most scripted and the most rehearsed. And your practice is beautiful. I mean, the second I walked in the door, the way I was greeted, what I was told, how things were addressed, the doctor was in prime time. We didn't interrupt the doctor that was set up doing their care table to table. It was so organized that, you know, that's what you want to see in our profession.
You know, people ask me all the time, well, how do you do Mile High and Sherman and all the things you do and teach your technique and run a practice? Because my practice has systems and it runs like clockwork, and that gives me freedom. That's the thing. People don't realize that structure yields freedom.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, so, there are no accidents in how you're doing things. I mean, look at us. I mean, you and I have virtually no history of friendship other than meeting in the leadership of our profession. And I am totally confident that if I had to drop my kids to be with you for several days, I wouldn't look back over my shoulder. You're a guy who likes to keep your house in order.
There you go. Well, thank you. And I know the same about you, and I would feel the same way. So I appreciate that. So wrapping this up, what are some things that you look forward to personally? What did you enjoy most about Mile High, and what are you looking forward to?
That someone, in addition to our community, is doing what our community holds important. That Mile High brings people together. And one of the big words in my life, in fact, I was just being interviewed on this yesterday by a bunch of the leadership from the colleges. What do I mean when I say clean? Because people say, they hear me say the word clean a lot, that TLC is about cleanliness. Mile High is clean. I mean, unless you're hiding something behind the black curtain, which I don't believe you are, you guys are clean. You're not looking for backroom deals. You're not looking to satiate some dark or hidden agenda. You guys are showing up with your heart involved. Whenever people call upon you, you're there. So what I'm most excited about being there, it's like being in my own home. You ever go to someone else's home and you feel like it's your own?
Yep.
Mile High is like TLC. I mean, they're just, you know, they just have a common tone to what they're doing. So I think, is that the question you asked?
Yeah, that's it. And you know, I really appreciate that answer because it means that that we're fulfilling the vision that I had for it, which is I want people to feel at home. And I want chiropractors that keep subluxation adjustment as a centerpiece of where their hearts are, and those foundational values that they feel at home, their team feels at home, they feel loved, they feel welcome.
You know, one more thing to say, you just sparked me on it, listening to how you answer that, is, you know, that old saying, better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. In our profession, quite often, it's easy to complain about stuff that we don't like, because there's a lot of stuff out there we don't like.
Yeah.
But there are many gatherings that come together that spend way too much time dissing medicine or dissing the other chiropractors or dissing the other technique or dissing Medicare or dissing, and just stop it. You know, instead of dissing what you don't like, speak boldly and cleanly about what is the light and be that light. And that's what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think that and I appreciate that you see it, because if you see that, then it means that what I want to see come into fruition is. And I think the thought of, like, rather than criticizing more chiropractors, why don't we love more chiropractors, you know? That would be much more effective for us to move forward. So, hey, I know you're on the road, and I'm so amazed that you're on the road, you pulled over, and here we are, we're in the middle of the woods somewhere. I love it. And
totally focused with you, man.
I love it. So I look forward to seeing you at Mile High. I look forward to seeing the TLC crew at Mile High, August 16th to 19th, www.milehighcowra.org. And how do people plug into TLC if they want to learn more?
I would say go to the website, you know, www.tlc4superteams.com. there's a whole new site that we've put together now. I think it's, in fact, it's on my little thing. TLC4U.life, I think, is our new website that we put together. We've been rebranded. We've moved to a new office building. But that's one way. Or just call us, 215-657-1701. And look, guys, I have now had over 2,400 hours of one-hour conversations with 2,400 different chiropractors, helping them write their own statement of desire to have a breakthrough dialogue. And when I hang up the phone, I don't want anything from you. I want everything for you. If you want to work through something like that, I block out 4 instances a week where I do that for free for people. So one of the things you can do is, if something I'm sharing sparks you to maybe feel a little safe and maybe, you know, willing to open up, call us, set up an appointment. I'll walk you through making your statement of desire. Because whatever you guys deal with in your lives, it's your head, it's your heart, and it's your hands that are going to conquer it. But opening your heart always wins. So I'll help you do an SOD statement, and that could be one way to reach us.
Outstanding. And I'll put all that information in the show links, so in the show notes. People have those links and everything. And I know they're going to be excited to see you at Mile High. Remember to get registered for that, www.milehighchiro.org. And again, these podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, whichever way you're listening to this, audio or video or watching it, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode and you see what we bring out. We have a number of them that are coming down the pipe that are going to be amazing. And Dr. Dean, thank you for all you do for chiropractors, chiropractic students, chiropractic associates, and chiropractic teams from around the world. I know it's from a huge place of loving chiropractic and making sure we serve on the biggest level that we can.
Thank you. See you all soon.
Like our page on Facebook, www.facebook.com/milehighchiro.